All right, we're back in session. I'm going to go to Dooley Kiefer, who's the vice chair of the... I'm going to go to Dooley Kiefer, vice chair of Facilities and Infrastructure, so that we can take care of business that... excuse me. We are in session. Excuse me.
Hey.
Go ahead, Dooley. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no chair's report from the committee. We haven't done anything since the last legislature meeting. There are two resolutions. So Resolution J, I would like to move number 4054, determination of a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to Pine Tree Road bike and pedestrian paths, Town of Ithaca, PIN number 3950.43.
Thank you, Dooley. Second for that? Second by Pam. And discussion. Oh, geez, Jeff, I hope there's some kind of discussion. All right. All in favor of Resolution J, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's everybody but one.
Thanks for coming, Jeff.
That's everybody but one. However many are here, Pam voted against. Okay. Peter voted. Kathy wasn't in the room, didn't vote. Leslin was at the door and voted.
I voted.
Pam voted against. We just did Jay.
Yeah, mine passed.
Okay. Everybody else is as they were, I think. Okay. Resolution K, Dooley?
Well, I can't introduce it because I'm going to vote against it, so I will ask any other member of the committee to please introduce it.
I'll move it.
Carol?
I will move it. I'll move Resolution K, authorization to issue design approval for construction of the Pine Tree Road bicycle and pedestrian paths project in the Town of Ithaca. I'd like to talk afterwards,
second.
But I'll move it for now.
Moved by Carol, seconded by Frank. Yes, Carol.
We went through a very long process as a community on this. We had meetings with 80 people there on this, many meetings, and we had meetings out in the community. And we started at a place with a lot of controversy and got to a place with a recognition that there are separate problems and issues at different ends of Pine Tree Road that we'd like to deal with, and dealt with that in a very effective way. And again, I said it before tonight, and I'll say it again. This is not perfect, but we, in this case, I don't think we should let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Jeff can tell us more if people would like to hear exactly what is in this design that we're moving forward, but it did start with 20 some odd different options that were four or five options in each of a number of sections to create a hike and bike path along Pine Tree Road from Maple, the corner of Maple, to Route 366, to realign a bridge in order to do that, and to make a safer situation where the bridge is. There were segments that then had to line up with each other, and we looked at a lot of different options. And Jeff, after all the work you went through, do you want to say a few words to us about any of this, or just be available for questions?
I would be available for questions if there are any further questions, but I'd also like to state that
Jeff, go ahead to the mic.
We're moving into the final design phase, and that's what you're voting on tonight. And the final design that was accepted by the committee was option number two. And I won't get into all the details of that, but the one aspect that was very important with a lot of the committee members is that it was 100% ADA compliant. There's no more than maximum of 5% grade throughout the project on any of the paths.
On the south
except
end.
For the one section on the north end, and it will be ADA compliant with pull-offs and whatnot. But the majority of the path, as to the F&I committee's wishes, is the maximum 5% grade for that. I'll be available for any other questions.
Thank you, Jeff. Pam and then Leslie.
Yes, I'd like to hear from the committee members about where the people who live on Pine Tree Road, where they ended up on this. I know there was a lot of opposition to this, or parts of this, and I just wonder where that's at.
They did not all end up in the same place, but the majority ended up asking us to do a project at their end of the road, which is a half a mile away from this, to try to calm traffic, especially the speed of the traffic going past their houses was their big concern.
So I'm not quite sure what you mean by, I mean, are you like, would you say 75% of the people were willing that this should move forward like this, or where, I mean...
I don't know if I can give a number, but we started out with meetings that had 80 people, and in the last meeting, most of whom spoke, against it and were very concerned about it, and the last meeting, we had about 20 people. Did any speak against it at that meeting? That meeting, the concern with people, bicyclists came out, but not residents.
Bicyclists supporting it, you mean?
Well, bicyclists wanting some changes to various aspects of it. But the residents who were concerned about the original problems, the speed past their houses and potential increase in trucks, felt like they didn't come.
Okay. Leslie?
May I ask what you said about ADA compliance? I did not hear.
Yes.
Leslie.
Turn one off again.
I heard what you said. Yes. The F&I committee was very anxious and eager to see that the project was as ADA compliant as possible. And the option two that was selected as a preferred alternative that is now going to final design is what you're voting on tonight, is ADA compliant in the longest stretch of the path, and it's ADA compliant in that it's a maximum of a 5% grade.
Thank you.
In that area. Right. And it is a multi-use path. It's 8 feet wide. And it's
okay,
a hard
the grade is what
path.
I wanted to hear. Yeah. Thank you.
Kathy Lewis and then Pam.
Thanks. I just noticed that we had a legislator that didn't move it, and I thought maybe she had reasons and wondered if she would tell us.
Sure. But first I wanted to make a comment on the design itself, which I think the consultants have done a good job making it wide enough for the town of Ithaca to be able to maintain it easily. I just drove along Cayuga Street, the south end of Cayuga Street, where Spencer Road comes in, and there is a fake stone wall holding up the embankment, which I think is so weird and unattractive that I hope, Jeff, that that's not what our consultants are thinking of. I had not noticed that before. So the reason I'm going to be voting against it is that although this is ostensibly a bike and pedestrian path project, the bulk of the money is going to change the overpass, the old bridge, which I don't think is necessary. And I would be happier if the pedestrian path were on the east side of the road instead of the west side where it's ended up. Although that would take it by Cornell's fish ponds, it would be a much more attractive path, and it would be, I believe, in total cheaper. So although I think we did a good job of reaching out to the public, and most of the committee is satisfied with the project, I'm really not. That's all.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
When you say it's on the bridge, I know in the beginning people were talking about whether raising it was a big deal or widening it. I think y'all decided not to widen. Are you raising? And by how much?
I don't remember the actual distance.
Jeff, do you talk about the bridge?
It, it's determined at this point the bridge is, like, at its lowest point is about 13 feet clearing. And because it's decided that it will be replaced, and it will be replaced with a pedestrian bridge, the federal requirement for a pedestrian bridge crossing over a roadway is a minimum of 15 feet clearance. So, yes, it will be raised from what it is there now. Is that right, Joe? As you recall, I know we've had this conversation.
I think we concluded that under any option, it would still have to be raised high enough, either under a renovation option, raised high enough for the larger trucks to be able to clear under that bridge. So it was really kind of neutral with respect to allowing trucks through either the retention option or the new bridge option.
Right.
Thanks. Pam, and then me. Did you have your hand up again?
I did. I guess I'm sorry to keep going back to the residents there, but this is an important piece for me. And I'm just wondering whether you made changes as a committee that would have caused them not to come, or did they just get discouraged and stop coming?
We committed to looking at a project in the future that would address the whole south end of
right.
the road.
But also they were worried about the bridge and the amount of traffic. I mean, so
I'm going to go to Joe, who's been unusually silent tonight.
Well, because it's a very late night, and I don't want to prolong it too much. But I would just offer that if you look at the room tonight, I think you see that this was a very engaged community. They've been coming in large numbers to meetings. And I think that over time, we didn't wear them down, but we certainly brought them into a process, and we went back to them several times. And I actually think the committee did a really excellent job in allowing that conversation to occur with the neighbors. I think there are some design changes that have been incorporated that respond to the neighbors. Certainly the multi-purpose nature of the trail, and that's the other part of clear guidance we got from committee. To me, that was an important part of what committee did. It gave us clear policy guidance. I remember sitting at a committee meeting with a piece of pink tape to show what a certain level of slope meant. And we worked through those things, and the committee gave us clear guidance. You better keep it ADA compliant. You better keep it at 5% during the long slope. We talked about maintaining the trail and making it wide enough for casual bikers and walkers to use it safely. So we did that. The bridge design actually, I think, became almost a secondary concern, particularly after the fact that it sure appeared as if there would have to be height changes regardless of the option. But then we did engage, and this again came from the committee. We said the concerns are really with speed. It's at the other end of the street, and we had a good charrette with the neighbors a few months ago. Took their ideas, were working on those ideas. So, again, I think it was a process, and the process was a good one. The committee led it, and I guess the last thing I would say, that you challenged us to find money, and we did. We went out and got grant money for this. So I really do think the process worked in this case, and you won't find 100% of the neighbors happy, but I do believe that they're acceptable with the solution that we're offering.
I want to ask Jeff if this is – you said we have – we're in final design stage. Do we expect to start construction this season?
It's planned for construction as early as September.
Because that was part of the contingency. Right. The grant money from the state was contingent on starting this year. I just want to say my comment is that I appreciate the images here, and I really think the community is going to love this. I think people, I think there are probably a lot of people who have no idea. We've been talking about this for, I don't know, 10 years, whatever, who are going to wake up and say, oh, my goodness, look at that, and be delighted. I think this has been a good process. Carol, you led a very hard process with a ton of community involvement, and I think the fact that they're accepting it is testament, is thanks to your work. So thank you very much.
Everybody.
Julie?
I'll say one other thing about the bridge. Once the public became convinced by hearing it from staff that the bridge was going to be raised no matter what, it was hopeless for them to talk about it anymore. It wasn't hopeless for me because I'm voting against it, but I think that they are happy that we are focusing on the south end of the road and trying to improve things in their area directly.
It's been a long time since that's been done. Are we ready to vote? On Resolution K, please raise your hands if you're in favor.
Aye.
11 opposed, 2. That passes 11 to 2. Thank you. Is that it for Jeff? All right. Thank you very much. Let us now go. I would like to take us back to the original agenda. And in case anybody's still watching, I want them to hear Joe's report. Brian, and then Mike.
Well, just that I never got a chance to close out the Public Safety Committee.
We'll come back to it. Okay. Mike?
Considering the lateness of the hour, I'd like to suggest that committee chair reports be deferred and we just move to the resolutions.
Well, I think, yes, if you have to say something in a committee report, then we'll get to you, okay? Brian?
Yeah, I don't have, only because I was asked by three different people out there just to say when the next meeting is, which is
okay,
next Monday.
Go for it, okay.
At 3:30, which is the 8th.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brian. Carol?
Are we going to get to resolutions added to and withdrawn from the agenda?
Yeah, we will.
Okay, then I won't do it yet.
Okay. County Administrator's Report. Joe Mariano.
Okay, I have two items tonight. The first one I can get through quickly. The second one is the airport. It'll take a little bit of time, but I'll be as concise as I can. The first item is just a very quick recap on the state budget. I'm not going to burden you with details, but just a couple of the items. I would characterize this as probably as county-friendly as we've seen since the crash back in 08. It doesn't make it perfect, but still, in terms of the usual bad news that I've given, there's actually some good news in this budget. CHIPS is up, highway aid is up, and it's a two-year commitment, and it looks like we'll be getting an extra $340,000 in each of the next 2 years for road paving, road construction projects. Obviously a good thing. At the last minute, we were advised of some Medicaid savings. It looks like some of the Affordable Care Act savings that were expected a year from now are being pushed forward a bit by the state to provide us a bit of Medicaid relief this calendar year, beginning in April. So we expect to save, call it $90,000 from our 2013 budget level. That's good. A little bit of a savings there. And that's expected to either triple or quadruple for 2014, so $300,000 to $400,000 in savings next year. And that's in Medicaid, so that's obviously a positive, too. We've been worried about community college aid. It's up by $150 per FTE. That looks to have a benefit of about $500,000 or a little bit more to TC3, important money at a critical time for them. There were concerns about IDA changes that would have diminished the power of the IDA to do certain exemptions. Most of that has been dealt with. It's not going to happen. There's some reforms, but it won't have the detrimental impact that we had been concerned about. And I guess the last thing, I won't burden you with all two other things. The pension smoothing, kind of a compromise, looked like it was worked out between the controller, something the controller could accept but could still be called stabilization or smoothing. I don't think it's a better plan. In fact, if anything, it may be a little bit worse for us than the prior plan. I can explain the details of that later. But I don't think we'll be taking a serious look at that. The last little thing I would add, though, is the district attorney salary, you recall, is pegged to the judges. It goes up every year. It's a three-year increase for them. This is the second consecutive year where the state has said that it will cover those increases in DA salary costs. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of money, but it's a good, I think it's a show of good faith from the state, and it saves us a few bucks as well. So I'll be reporting back to the Budget Committee with more details, but those are really the high points there. I think as I close out the budget and go into the airport, the other thing I would add is, you recall the conversation with the Racker Center and Unity House and Challenge about the loss of OPWDD, I think I've got it right, aid, and it was going to be $120 million statewide. It would have meant $1 million to Racker. Well, a little bit of that got restored, but not all of it. Only a quarter of it got restored. Three quarters didn't get restored. So those three agencies are going to face some challenges. There's a hope that there'll be some offsetting savings in some other areas, but seeing is believing. So as we sit, those three agencies look to be negatively affected by this budget, perhaps more so than any other part of the budget as it relates to us or our related agencies.
Joe, what are the three agencies again?
Challenge, Unity House, and RACTR. So that's the budget. And again, I'll give you more details when we have more time and I'm more alert.
Yeah, Joe, just a second. Frank?
Yeah. Joe, budget. At the Blue Ribbon Committee on Agriculture, we received a notification from the governor's office that they have increased the funding for all agricultural programs. There must be 25 or 30, some of which go right through the university. Some are with cooperative extension. I know it's a different hat that Dan wears, but cooperative extension's allocation went up. And organic, the organic farming and the viticulture piece both went up.
Yeah.
We just got it today,
okay.
So I'll forward that to you.
That's great. And I've got a schedule here, too, that NYSAC had in its packet, but send me what you've got. Yours may be more precise than NYSAC. Unless there's any questions, that's a quick overview of the state budget. With respect to the airport, obviously the big news is the federal sequestration effect on the control tower and the defunding of the control tower by the FAA that will hit us effective May 5th, just around the corner. When that happened, we were very quick to make public comments that were both very honest and very accurate and appropriate about the safety factor and about the effect on schedule. And we said very quickly, because there was great concern, that in terms of safety caused by the tower basically not being staffed, safety should not be an issue for travelers. That's the control operations will be staffed out of Elmira. We already do that during the early morning hours and late evening hours. So we wanted to get a message out that assured the traveling public that their safety was not going to be compromised, and also that it hadn't affected air service schedules. And with respect to near term, absolutely accurate and appropriate and on the mark. As the days have gone by, there's increasing concern about, for the lack of a better phrase, our airport being marginalized by this event. It turns out we're going to be the only airport in New York State that's losing its control tower, the only airport that has commercial air service coming into it. We are the only one who's been affected by that. Some other airports have had their service restored. So we seem to be on our own in New York State. And as we talk about it and think about it, the concern is, will the airlines increasingly view us as a place that they can bypass? Maybe it's better for them to go to other airports that have control towers. So there's a concern about the long-term implications of this to us. And sequestration is supposed to be a short-term thing, but nobody's so sure about that. It could have some duration to it. So over the past few days, there's really been a convergence around this issue. Some of you have been involved in it, the business community, Cornell, Ithaca College. A lot of people have converged on this issue and have begun to talk very seriously about what we need to do and ought to do to try to basically restore funding and restore operations within the control tower. There was a meeting this morning by a group that, for the lack of a better phrase, we can call stakeholders. Again, representatives of Cornell, Ithaca College, TCAD. Greg Hartz was there as the current chair of TCAD, the Chamber of Commerce. Peter Stein was there as facilities. Martha was there. Jonathan and I were there, and Bob Nicholas and others that I'm forgetting, to talk about a lobbying strategy that needs to be put in place very quickly. The lobbying strategy, as we've developed it, will really hit a couple of spots. First, the federal government, obviously. We got to go back and knock on that door again and see if we can get Congress or the federal government to come to its senses and restore funding for the control tower at our airport. And to that end, phone calls are already going out to the congressional delegation, to Schumer, Gillibrand, and to Congressman Reed by leadership of the community. There's a conference call tomorrow that had already been set up with Congressman Reed and the Air Service Board. We've got a message pretty well crafted for that conversation tomorrow to let the congressman know how important air service is to this community and how important, because it feeds the economy, how important our economy is to the entire congressional district in fact, to upstate New York. So a part of our message will be very much, we're geographically isolated, but what happens here is very important in terms of the economy that we generate. And so that air service and making sure that we have a control tower staffed is very important. Kind of as a part two of that federal lobbying effort, we will also try to engage New York State, and specifically the governor's office, to help us lobby the federal government for the restoration of funding, but also, frankly, to try to engage them in a conversation about can the state come in and help with funding to sustain the control tower operations. It's happening in at least one of the states where the state has stepped in to provide financial support. Texas has already done that. But I think we have work to do on New York State, so we're going to ask for two things. Lobbying support, helping with Washington, but also beginning a discussion about can the state help with finances. So there's federal and the state. Locally, we've kind of scratched the surface of what a local effort might be, but that has kind of led us to where some other communities are, too, with respect to a local strategy, and that's the commencement of a lawsuit against the FAA. You may have seen it in the newspapers. Some places have already done it. Spokane, Washington was the first to jump. Others are coming in, and Jonathan is going to spend a couple of minutes to talk about the possibility of our taking similar action, again, just so we've largely covered all of our fronts and are really taking every possible step we can to try to bring funding back to the tower. So with that, Jonathan, do you want to talk about prospect of a lawsuit?
I did want, and I think Martha already did, ask for an executive session to talk about some of the details, which I want to discuss, which I really can't discuss in open session. But I can tell you what other airports are doing, and I've spoken with the attorneys for, or the primary attorneys for all of those actions. What they are doing is under the belief, and I think correctly, that the letter from the FAA, and that's all it really is a letter to all these airports. There wasn't any real process or action. It's just all we have is a letter. That's all anybody has, really, is a final agency action of a federal agency which can be challenged. For us, it would be one of two places, the Circuit Court of Appeals in D.C., because that's where the FAA is, or the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, which is New York City, and that's the circuit that we're in. So what other airports have done so far is just basically file petitions in the appellate courts. Here we would have the choice of doing it, as I say, either in the Second Circuit or the D.C. Circuit. Inevitably, though, almost they're very likely to all be combined because that's just the way federal courts work, so they're likely to be combined. The big issue is really is that, and nobody's yet to do this, but they will in the next couple days, I'm told, is move for a stay. Meaning a stay or an injunction in the meantime of the action that the FAA has taken. And frankly, the whole case relies on the stay, because if you don't get the stay, it'll be long closed before the decision, the court process works its way through. The closing date for this airport is May 5. There's other airports that have an even earlier closing date. I'm not talking about the airport, obviously, I'm just talking about the control tower. So we actually are in a better position than some of the other airports in time-wise. But in no event are these cases going to be decided before May 5th. So the whole matter really depends on going to federal court and getting the federal court to give you a stay of the FAA's action pending the resolution. And given the fact that it'd probably be a year to be resolved legally or longer, you know, the hope would obviously be that the matter would be settled politically within that year. But as a legal matter, the idea is to go to one of the federal circuit courts, almost inevitably, because the FAA is represented by the Department of Justice and they have an aviation division, so that's the people who will represent the FAA. But they will move to consolidate, very likely, almost certainly, that would be granted, which means it will be in one of the circuits in which there's already an action, which so far is the D.C. Circuit, the Ninth Circuit, which is centered in California, and the Second Circuit, which is centered in New York. So most likely in one of those three. Typically, one would guess that it would be the D.C. Circuit, only the D.C. Circuit is short four judges now, so it's not that would be the one reason why it wouldn't be in the D.C. Circuit, so it's not clear. But very likely the cases would be consolidated. And so obviously many airports are considering that. There's some difference of opinion as to how many have already filed. I know of seven. Somebody said at the meeting it's 14, but I don't know who the other seven are. So that's one possibility, and further details in a very brief executive session, I'd want to discuss.
So basically, we're trying to leave no stone unturned in trying to resurrect. There was a story. I'll close on this. In terms of objectively, we run a great airport. Safety's not a concern. Airlines can fly in here. There was an article in the Cornell Sun today. And it talks about how important really the perception is. And the closing part of the story was a student saying, I'm calling my parents today to tell them to book me a flight out of Syracuse instead of Ithaca because there's uncertainty about what's happening at the airport. And again, we have to keep saying we're safe and we're flying on schedule. Our concern is really with the long term and what those kinds of considerations, very subtle things, could do to our airport. So we believe that we have to respond aggressively and effectively. And I will tell you, we have a very supportive community here in terms of being willing to pitch in to help us try to get funds restored for the tower.
Before we go to questions, Bob Nicholas pointed out that he, or maybe it was Larry, that once the tower is closed, it's really hard to imagine it ever being reopened. It's also, we have to remember that the FAA under sequester and maybe under future actions is also going to be seeing cutbacks. I mean, 20% cutback immediately in their staffing, so that if more airline traffic basically is handled by the Elmira Tower, it's not like the current staff is going to handle the traffic like they do now. It's going to be a smaller staff handling more traffic. So if there are delays, whatever the bottlenecks are. Now, this is going to affect a lot of the whole network around the country. I think that the red flag here. Oh, you forgot to mention the money, Joe. The $200,000.
Well, the estimated cost to staff a control tower is about $500,000. There is still a concern that the FAA also wants to charge us to maintain their equipment at the airport, which includes navigational aids. Now, that's very murky. There was a conference call today with the FAA and all of the affected airports that I guess didn't add clarity to anything. So we're still trying to figure that one out. But it's a minimum of $500,000 to keep it staffed, and it could be a couple hundred thousand more than that for the equipment items if that, in fact, is what the FAA plans to do.
So in other words, the equipment, but that's even with the service gone, we would be asked to cover $200,000 to maintain the equipment.
That's our concern. That's a possibility, but we haven't gotten enough clarity on that to say with certainty that that's going to be a cost.
But that's not our decision at all. The question of whether to pitch in somehow $500,000 to staff it ourselves, that's at least a choice. We may have no choice about the FAA maintenance charge. And so that was part of, that was the red flag that really raised the concern about this issue in the last couple of days, as well as learning that the four other commercial airports that had been on the closure list somehow got reinstated in New York. Frank.
Thanks, Martha. Joe, Two things. When we built the terminal and we did the entry road and the parking lots, several of us flew to Washington to talk with the powers to be, including the FAA. Cornell was very influential in that. And Steve Johnson now, you know, is in the Washington. I'd include him on the, I'm sure you have already.
They're very much involved. They know how important they are to this effort.
The other one is on the TCAT board, TCAT. We've worked with Congressman Hanna because he still sits on the Transportation Committee. And I don't want to take anything away from Tom Reed, and not at all, but I would include Hanna in any discussions because of him sitting on transportation.
And I believe he lost one, too. I believe the Rome airport is in his district.
It is.
Which is they don't have commercial airlines to fly in there, but it's still an economic generator for them. They do airline maintenance there. So he would have an interest in this, too.
I'll be calling him tomorrow.
I would.
Yeah. I'm going to call them both. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Joe. County.
Mark, I'm sorry. The only question that I have is, do you want a sense of our body, you want a vote coming out of here tonight saying, you know, it's sent to this body that this is really important and pursue it aggressively? No? Okay.
I don't know that a motion is going to be helpful. I think a conversation about the lawsuit, we'll have an executive session. Okay. County attorney report. Anything else?
No, nothing further.
All right. Thank you. David Squire, finance director? All right. Great. Any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Carol.
Yes. In addition to any SAFE Act-related resolutions that I still have randomly on the agenda here, I need to withdraw. There's an appointment to the Fish and Wildlife Management Board that I need to withdraw. We'll come back. I can't believe I had a whole... we had 100... hunters here, and I didn't make an appeal. There are three seats on this board, and if anybody knows, anybody interested in fishing or hunting, it meets quarterly in Cortland.
Okay, Paul Tater, that appointment is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen tonight.
Okay, thank you. Now, is it safe to say, Kathy, that all the other resolutions from the related to the SAFE Act would be withdrawn. All right. Then I'll go to the consent agenda. Very short. Resolution A, 4074, approval of appointment to the Tompkins County Council of Governments and other appointments to the Ag and Farmland Protection Board, Norman Davidson, Rachel Crispell. Planning Advisory Board, Monica Roth, Gay Nicholson, Kathleen Schlaughter. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Kathy Luz Herrera. Ethics Advisory Board, Christine Sanchirico, Brian Eden. Youth Services Board, Amy Jacot. Strategic Tourism Planning Committee, Angela Lapadula, and to the Hillview Road Landfill Citizens Advisory Committee, Julie Kiefer. And that is the consent agenda. Do I have a motion? Moved by Leslie and seconded by Will. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's a record. 10:46, we passed the consent agenda. Good for us. Okay, Broadband Committee, David McKenna, Vice Chair.
Good evening. We met on Monday the 25th. We had a presentation by Chuck Bartosz on the grant, and there is approximately a $500,000 shortfall in the funding for the entire county, which we are diligently working on trying to find ways to fill that gap. We don't have any at the moment, but we are working on it, and that is our priority for all those that are interested and worried about their broadband service. The other thing that I would like to say is that there are portions of Enfield and Caroline that will not get service under the current plan if we don't achieve any more funding, but it is not drawn at the town border. There is a lot of overlap from adjoining towns. There will be a lot of people served. I can't say exactly how many. I know Chuck is looking at it, trying to determine the number of households with the propagation of the signals and so on. But I haven't heard from him yet as to exactly what that's going to be, what the total number of households that are going to be hanging out there waiting for that additional money. And the other thing I would say is that the state will not allow us to manipulate the money to better serve. You know, we can't move a pole from point A to point B. It's not permitted in the grant funding, so that's just not an option. That's all I have to report.
Okay. Thanks very much, David. Pam and then Frank.
I thought there was some interest in shortening our agenda by not having the committee reports.
Well, I said, you know, please be brief and anything you need to say. I mean, I will tell you that this issue has been so much in the news, and a lot of people have been asking about it. I think.
Right. I mean, I think that I'm not. Yeah.
I probably got four phone calls in the last 3 days.
Yeah. Frank.
Thanks, Martha. Dave, I'm particularly interested in, of course, Caroline being an Enfield, but Caroline being not funded. Did they give you any explanation as to why?
Well, they actually pulled the two townships out in Tompkins County and two in Cougar County. I don't know if it was an effort to keep a single provider or if there was some other agenda. I really don't know.
But there is an effort being made to restore the funding?
I'm trying to achieve funding through alternate sources. Right now, I don't know where it's going to go. I'm hoping it's going to be at least somewhat successful, and we'll see what we can do. That's all I can say at the moment. That is the focus of the committee at the present time, is to come up with that funding for that gap.
Okay.
Look, it's a common practice to fund like enough of a project that they have that you're going to go and do it, but you shave a little bit off so that you can spread it around, I guess. Thank you, Dave. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you. Let's go to item A. It is, B, it's endorsing state legislation, Senate 4123, Assembly 6458, extending existing sales and use tax authority of the County of Tompkins. And I would move that.
Second by Leslin, and that's the version that was revised by the committee?
Yes, it was the revised as adopted by the committee.
Okay, any questions? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you. And the sales tax fund thanks you. Appropriation resolution C, appropriation from contingent fund for temporary salary expense in the finance department, and I would move that.
Second by Brian. Any questions, discussion? Need a short form roll call.
I have a question.
Oh, sorry, Dooley.
Line 21, it says it's the county's intention to retain within the finance department on a temporary basis. Are we hiring somebody?
I think, yes, we are. And
shouldn't it say to hire and then have them placed in that department? If we're actually hiring them. Okay.
Well, is there an issue, say, hire? Doesn't hire imply benefits and lots of other things?
No, it would mean the same thing.
It says hire on a temporary basis.
Yeah, it's fine to say hire. The individual, once we close this, will not. It's a retired individual, so the benefit issue is really moot.
That friendly?
I'm good with that.
Friendly? Okay, that's friendly. Short form roll call.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Anyone who wishes to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
I'm done.
Thank you, Brian. Did you have anything else? Anything else on public safety? You're all set.
No, I just wanted to give the date.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean. Claire Bourne, Chair, if she has any voice left at all.
Yeah, I have about 20 minutes of reporting. WDIC will meet tomorrow, 3:30, in the Scott Heyman Conference Room. And once a year, we watch a video clip that reminds us of why we do what we do. So we're looking at a video clip on where tolerance, what that means. So you're all invited to come and join us. And we'll also be taking a look at the living wage issues being gone around to other committees, as well as the Uniting American Families Act, which you'd heard about previously last year or the year before. That's it.
Okay, any questions?
3:30, Sky Heyman Conference Room.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Tomorrow. Frank?
Tomorrow, the 3rd.
Right. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With Joe reporting this evening that the state budget is passed, the departments that report to Health and Human Services, we're going to ask for an update on what their reaction is to the budget and what the impacts might be, particularly Kathy Slaughter at the Coalition. But to follow up on a discussion we had earlier this evening regarding the SAFE Act, I did ask Susan to come from mental health and give us, as Will has already mentioned, sort of her best guess as to what we might anticipate if she has information by then. The next meeting of the committee is April 9th. We're going to have Frank Krupa give us an update on the plan that they're working on. Also, Lisa from COFA is going to be in there for, they're on the agenda for that as well. I think I'll stop there, Martha. Thank
Any
you.
Any questions for Frank? Thanks very much. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Vice Chair. Is there anything else? Okay, thank you. Economic Development Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
We've not met since our last meeting, but we will be meeting this Thursday, and we will, among other things, be discussing the plan of the Cuca Power Station to consider converting to gas or a mix of gas and coal. So if you're interested in that issue, come. 3:30.
Questions for Will. Thank you, Will. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Our next meeting is Wednesday, April 10th at 3:30 at the old jail. We will make a decision on chairs.
And I think everybody's voted, right? Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mike? Thank you. Government Operations Committee, who's the vice chair?
Peter. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm doing it.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you, Mike.
I just want to move the resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
L, appropriation from contingent fund to support the cost of completing the digitization of county archival records.
And the second by Pam. Okay, discussion. Short form roll call.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Resolution M, adoption of local law, number A of 2013, amending Chapter 32, Code of Ethics. I so move.
Seconded by Dooley.
This represents an awful lot of work over an awful long period of time, and particular thanks to the people on the Board of Ethics for their patience and their hard work here.
Frank.
Mike, I would suggest that we table this until such time as individuals that have concerns and questions can weigh in on it. We had a public hearing at the last legislative meeting, But because of the time that we've taken regarding the SAFE Act, and again this evening, I dare say that our own county staff has not had an opportunity to review this and offer an opinion. But I think some of us would like an opportunity to spend a little more time reviewing it. I laud the Government Operations Committee, and last year under Dooley, the amount of work that's gone into it. But I think some of us would like an opportunity to review it because it is quite reaching. So I would appreciate it if you might consider just tabling this for a month or whatever until we can review it.
I'd really like to see us go forward with it. I think we've had it go around enough times here.
This board?
Well, we've had it before the board. We had it for the public hearing, and now it's back again on this agenda.
And it was pulled off the last agenda.
We've had it in our packets for a month. Will?
I would support tabling at least for meetings. I think we can't intelligently discuss it at this late hour. I mean, there are a few questions. I think it's mostly ready. So I would ask that we table it to the next meeting.
Is that a motion to table?
That is a motion to table.
Second by Kathy. Second by Frank. Okay.
May I ask a point of information? Is that a motion to table to a particular date, a motion to postpone? And if so, to when?
I would be happy to do it at the next meeting.
Postpone until the next meeting?
Yes.
The next legislature meeting?
Yes.
Discussion? I think Pat, I know I've heard Pat talk about this, and I have heard from Pat and I think others that the committee has spent and the ethics board have spent so many times going back and forth about this and digesting it, and it truly is committee work, and I think that we've had it in our packets quite some time so that people could make look at it. It wasn't just didn't show up tonight for the first time. I would urge that we vote on it tonight. So I will vote against tabling. Any other discussion? Pam?
Well, I think the committee has, I was part of that committee for part of that time, has spent a tremendous amount of time on it. But I don't see any harm in putting it off for a meeting if people, because we have all been rather distracted by the SAFE Act issue, and I don't see there's any harm in just putting it off. It's not as if we're sending it back to the committee. We are just putting off voting on it for 2 weeks. And so I will support that.
Jim, your hand up?
I'm not on the committee, but if it's tabled, what's going to happen at the committee level? It'll just lay there for 2 weeks?
It just doesn't go back to committee. Okay. Comes back here.
I'm not.
Dooley?
Did I have my hand up? I'm very disappointed that Frank hasn't found the time to read all that those pages that have been in our agendas a couple of times. Maybe they don't have to be reprinted. Maybe people could just bring their old copies to the next meeting.
Yeah.
All right, ready to vote? All in favor of the motion to table till the next legislature meeting, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that the right number? 8 to 4.
Right.
That seems like we're missing somebody.
We're missing two.
Peter and Pat.
That's the wrong vote. But that's only 12.
So somebody didn't vote.
Can I see? Maybe it's my eyes. All in favor of tabling, please raise your hand. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed?
Yes.
Opposed? I got 9 to 4. Okay. That passes, so this is tabled till the next legislature meeting.
I would move Resolution N, adopting revisions to Policy 01-26, Advisory Committees and Advisory Boards appointed by the County Legislature.
Seconded by Leslie. And Mike, there's a change in our packets.
Yeah, I'm moving the one change.
With the change, is that what you said?
Is that the change by committee?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Frank.
Just Mike, point of information, if you will, because the change in this procedure, one section of it refers to the ethics piece. Is it appropriate to table this for the same 2 weeks until the ethics piece is passed?
Well, I understand your question, but since hopefully we're going to adopt the ethics provision at some point, I think just the reference to it does not require us to not move ahead with this one.
Okay, all in favor of Resolution N, please raise your hand. Opposed? 12 to 1. That passes.
Who's the one?
Right.
What? 12 to 1. All right. All set, Mike? Is that
yes.
It? Thank you, Mike. Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
You know, we met yesterday. Resolutions, you know, we come to our next meeting, and I don't think there's anything in the report that can't wait as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good report. All right. We have, the member filed resolutions have been pulled. Minutes of the March 5th meeting of the legislature. Is there a motion? Moved by Jim, second by Frank. Any discussion? All in favor, raise your hand, please.
Aye.
Any opposed to the March 5th minutes?
Oh, I'm opposed.
All right. Passes with one opposed.
No, there were two.
Two opposed.
No.
Carol and Dooley are opposed. Minutes of the March 19th meeting. Moved by Will, second by Jim. No.
Discussion. I just would like...
Go ahead.
I'd just like to say that this meeting in particular, I mean, I always think our minutes are lacking, but, you know, we had hundreds of people talking, you know, here, 59 talking to us. Their remarks are reflected. A member of the public looking at this would not know that we went around the room and said anything in response. I just think that's unconscionable. And, yes, you can somehow find out that you need to open the notes as well, but I just think it's inadequate. And this particular meeting demonstrates that so strongly. So I hope that we will revisit the process, and I hope in the meantime, I don't know, could it be in order to move that our comments get added to the minutes from this meeting?
Well, you should do it at the time.
Right, you should.
All right. What you're saying, you want to move to add...
whatever was in the notes from our comments to this minutes as well.
It's a motion to add, to take from the notes and add that to the minutes. Right?
You have to come back to us to see what our...
And then bring that back at the following meeting.
We had a policy that we had accepted that pretty much we can't do that.
That's right.
Frank, and then Jim.
Madam Chair,
Before we add anything,
I would suggest that we take Carol's suggestion and refer to governmental operations, because they were the committee, if I remember right, that reviewed the minutes procedure. You're trying to change a policy on the floor of the board by a motion. I don't think you can do that.
Jim?
So,
Carol, I think you need to apologize to the staff for the comment that our minutes are lacking.
Oh.
Okay?
It's our policy. Yes. Staff, I hope you didn't take offense at that. I really meant that our choice about what we include or don't include in our minutes is lacking, not your ability to take those. You've done an incredible job
it's
for years.
Nice to be doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I would say, Let's people can go to the full record online. They can see the video. They can hear it. They can read the notes. You can vote against the minutes. Are we all set to vote on the minutes of March 19th?
Yeah.
All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Three opposed. All right.
I move we go into executive.
What? Will, I thought you said opposed.
I quirk.
You didn't bring your hand down. Two opposed. Mike.
I'd like to move to go into executive session to discuss litigation and personnel and to come back afterwards and possibly take action.
Thank you, Mike. Second. Seconded by Brian. All in favor of going to executive session? Okay. Any opposed? One opposed. Sorry, you're stuck. We need to shut the cameras down, so at 11:15, please be in your chairs. 11:15.